Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Dallas, people, you're stupid.
It's John and Lance.
So yeah, I could not be a drug mule. Too forgetful.
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's John Granato and Lance Zerline.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN. For the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Okay, hold on 1 second. Dell and I are having a little problem here. You're turning me off.
Yeah,
I can hear now. I can hear. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
All right, we're all good. We are at East River 9, and we are going to be here for the next, well, till 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to be here. All the shows are going to be here, and it's a big night for us because we got the Listener Appreciation Party as well tonight at St. Arnold. So it is a big day for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glad you could tune in, and off we go on an up and down night for us here in the city of Houston. It was, I thought it was, listen, I'm a little worried. The Cowboys looked okay last night. That was bothersome.
Yeah.
The first half, they couldn't stop Philadelphia, which isn't surprising. They're not good defensively, but they sure did look good offensively.
Yes,
Javonte Williams looked good. Dak looked really good. They were throwing the ball around. They couldn't be stopped. And then we had lightning, and then we had no scoring whatsoever after that. And we had CeeDee Lamb, who ended up being the GOAT because he just couldn't catch a couple three balls, that he dropped. And the Cowboys end up losing. That is a great result for us here in the city of Houston, while our Astros were getting their ass handed to them because Caleb Ort just wasn't good last night. That was really, really bad. Joe left him in there too long. He just left him in there too long. He should have got him after they had two on and two out. Get him out of there. And now the game went, or actually the first run that scored off Ort was a slow roller that just happened to be in the right place. Jeremy Peña couldn't get to it, but he walked two. He walked two to start the inning. And he got himself in so much trouble, and then Trent Grisham just crushed him, and the game was over. We had a chance at the end. Carlos Correa at the plate with the bases loaded, and then Christian Walker with the bases loaded, and scene. So it was an up-and-down night for us. We're happy the Cowboys lost, and we're sad that our Astros lost. Still 3.5 games up and 5 games up on the Rangers. Now a big weekend series against them Rangers in Arlington.
Well, I mean, the only way Seattle can make up any ground is – you know, they didn't play. So they were able to pick up half a game.
Yeah, right. They didn't play.
That's the only way they make up ground. So I don't care about Cowboys winning and losing anymore. They're a non-factor in football. Haven't been for over 3 decades now. But I will say, to pick up on the point you were making, you wonder what the game would look like if we hadn't had the one-hour delay. If they hadn't had the lightning and the rain. You wonder what the game would look like, because neither team's defense was able to stop. The big story was Jalen Carter spit on the jersey, but there was an opening kickoff. A player was injured on the kickoff, and as the two teams were waiting, Jalen Carter and Dak Prescott got into it a little bit, and they were just talking, and apparently, well, we didn't know this until much later in the game. They showed this much later in the game when they had this video footage where they were scraping every camera angle they could find. Dak Prescott and Jalen Carter were kind of barking at each other. The two teams were in their huddles or whatever on each side of the ball, and they were barking at each other. And Dak Prescott, now we did not know this at the time, not that it really matters, he kind of walked over between his offensive linemen. And he and Jalen, I guess, are kind of, trash talking maybe a little bit. And then Dak Prescott spits on the ground. Well, Jalen Carter, and nowhere near Jalen Carter, but, you know, you could have, I guess you could have surmised, oh, he's spitting on the ground as a sign of disrespect to me or whatever. So Jalen Carter, now all we see on TV is Jalen Carter, and we didn't even see this. At the time, on the broadcast, we just hear there's a flag. That's all we hear is there's a flag, and you know, they're kind of getting into it a little bit. And then we all of a sudden find out Jalen Carter has been ejected. Before one play is run, other than a kickoff, Jalen Carter got kicked out of the game. Jalen Carter goes over, starts walking over, because he didn't like, you know, I guess Dak spitting on the ground. And he gets over, and they kind of get into, you know, right each other's face a little bit. The offensive linemen are all there, and it's just like they're just chirping. And on the replay, they had to find out on the replay what happened. On the replay, you can see he spits as he's starting to back up. He spits on Dak Prescott on his jersey. The official sees it, throws a flag. They kick him out of the game. What an idiot. What an absolute idiot. And we talked about what an idiot Jalen Carter was in college. He is maybe the most dominant defensive lineman already. I had him as the top-rated player in the draft when he came out. He was that talented, but he fell. We know he was involved in an incident with street racing that ended up killing a teammate and another person who worked in the athletic department, who was also in the car with his former teammate. I had heard that he was still doing, you know, he was still doing fast car stuff even during his training, his combine training. It was still an issue for him. I was told that by an agent. He is extremely immature and lost control of his temper, I guess, his impulse control. And not only was he kicked out of that game, and Javonte Williams looked good. It's a lot easier to run the football when you don't have your best defensive tackle in the football game. And that was the case. And Dallas ran the ball pretty well with Jalen Carter out. But Jalen Carter's likely to get a suspension now. Spitting on a player, the NFL, you know, I went through that. I talked about it maybe very briefly. But two things the NFL said. Walt Anderson has this, you know, we have a NFL, we had our little town hall meeting that we have or whatever every year. And the head of officiating will speak, and they'll tell us what the focus is. And he said the two focuses this year are anything gun-related. You do finger pistols, you do your shotgun, you do where you're clicking off around like Malik Nabers does. Gun stuff's getting a 15-yard penalty. Y'all haven't seen it yet, but you will see it. Trust me. That's a point of emphasis. The other one is disrespect. They're trying to take that out, trying to eliminate some of that out of the game when they think it goes over the top. And that is going to be punished. We saw Nolan Smith got a 15-yard penalty after he made a tackle and kind of started bowing up, and Javonte Williams or Miles Sanders, whoever the running back was, in his face, he got a 15-yard penalty for that. This spitting on a player, that's as disrespectful as it gets. That's going to catch him at least a one-game suspension is my prediction. Yeah. I think
he'll probably. Now, as you mentioned, Dak Prescott, he spit first. He spit on the ground. He walked up in between his linemen, and he spit in the direction of Jalen Carter. But here's what Dak had to say after the game about Spitgate.
Okay. He was trolling, I guess you could say, trying to mess with Tyler Booker. I was just looking at him. I was right here by the two linemen. And, yes, I needed to spit, and I wasn't going to spit on my linemen. I just spit ahead. But I would say he was back there where Jory was in that sense. And he asked, where he goes, you trying to spit on me? At that point, I mean, I felt like he was insulting me. Like I wouldn't spit on somebody. I'm definitely not trying to spit on you. Like, we're about to play a game. I'm wondering why you're trying to mess with the rookie. And so when I step through, I actually say the words, like, what the hell would I, excuse me, but I'm probably even more colorful. What would I need to spit on you for? And he just spit on me in that moment. And it was more of a surprise than anything. Refs obviously saw it through the flag. I was like, hell yeah, we get 15 yards to start the game off. Didn't realize he was getting ejected. Unfortunate that he did. Hell of a player. Changed our plan and our blocking scheme, as I told y'all right before the week, that we're going to protect against him. So helped in that manner, but I don't wish for anybody to get out of the game. I'm sure he probably regrets that to some extent. I'm pretty sure he knows I didn't try to spit on him or wasn't even aiming to spit on him. So something that's probably going to get a lot of coverage and a lot of attention that I feel sorry for in the sense of, I know how excited each and every one of us are, right, to kick off the season and the season opener. And hell of a player like that doesn't even get a chance in the first play. Unfortunate circumstances.
So, yeah, Dak, you could see he's looking at Jalen Carter when he spit. It was,
but it's not.
I guess he was
it's
being
not anywhere near
it's
him.
It's not anywhere.
Jalen's way far away.
Yeah, right. He was in his direction. You could see his Dak's eyes. He's looking at him. He's got a little smile on his face. And then Jalen Carter comes walking up, and then the jaw, and then the spit. Jalen Carter is a problem. Jalen Carter is a big problem because he's such a good football player. They're going to have to make. There's a tough decision there. He's the kind of guy that is going to be probably on a few teams because you just worry about whether or not you can handle him, and somebody else will take on the risk because he is so good. And he's probably, and that's why he fell in the draft. That's why he is who he is. But, man, oh, man, talk about a good football player. And losing that good football player, it made a difference. Javonte Williams had himself a nice game in large part because Jalen Carter wasn't in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to take in from both the Astros. Got to watch, you know, through the mat. You see, you guys don't have this ability with technology, but I was able to watch both games.
Oh,
and this
yeah.
is what separates me. Is
That's
I can
different.
Watch a football and a baseball game. I can't do it concurrently. I do use dual. I use my dual receiver, so I will admit that I'm not watching. I was late on the Astros, so like I would, you know, I have games paused. So I'm late for a while with the Eagles and Cowboys, and I'm late on the Astros. So I was about two innings behind when I saw Jeremy Pena's not an atrocious at bat, atrocious. Umpiring of the strike zone in the third inning when Jeremy Pena had two strikes called on him that were nowhere near the strike zone. And he was so frustrated with how bad the call was. And I give him a lot of credit for just showing some frustration but walking back to the dugout. Because then, don't worry, later on that same home plate umpire that was so bad against the Yankees, he screwed another one up yesterday when – third baseman caught the ball and then lost the ball when he was just shifting it to his hands, which is not, as long as you make the initial catch, it should have been.
Yeah,
they called
the umpire in this series was terrible.
Oh.
The umpiring in this series could not
it was
have been
awful.
Worse. It
awful.
Was awful. For both
And
sides.
I'm not an anti, like, where I just love to blame officials and umpires and they're the referees. They're the reason everything's wrong. This was legitimately atrocious. Like, that guy, the kid who was behind the plate 2 days ago and was at third base yesterday, I don't know. I'm calling him kid. I don't know how old he is. I think he's in his 30s. He's going to have a hard time sticking around the league if it's that bad. Like, if he's this bad, I know somebody who went to my high school that was a major league ump for a little bit, and he ended up getting into it with, I think it was some members of the either Red Sox or Yankees, and then he just didn't last in the show for a long time. It can be political, but it can also be, you know, performance-based, and that is atrocious. What he did the game before, you know, frankly, the Yankees really took the brunt of that one. But you can't miss that badly. And then the home plate umpire last night, who was the crew chief, he sucked. He sucked too yesterday.
They were bad. It was bad. It was bad the whole series. That crew is just terrible. Move on to another city. The Astros move on to the Rangers. This is a big weekend. It's a big weekend. They're just four and a half. They're just five games up on the Rangers now. A sweep, and and we got ourselves a three-team race. So they've got to come away with their now. You'll remember, they play really well at Texas. They play really well in Arlington. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they get some of that back. And with Jordan in the lineup now, and see, Isak Paredes is heading to Florida. He looks like he could be possibly coming back. You put him at maybe second base. You get that bat back in the lineup possibly down the stretch, maybe in a couple of weeks as we head into the playoffs. You got Altuve out in DH-ing or in left field. You got Jordan. Now, all of a sudden, you got that lineup back where it is something. It is something special. We got a break. We are live.
Jordan,
in East River 9.
Eight hits
in
two games. Jordan right now, he had his first base hit that wasn't 100-plus exit velo yesterday.
And it was, how about that, 69-mile-an-hour down the third base line for a double. Yeah. And then
he had two yesterday because he
one off the end of the bat that went over the shortstop's head as well. Man, it's Anthony. It's Anthony Volpe bat. How bad is Ben Rice at first base? He's awful.
Can't catch.
The Yankees are the Yankees, man. They're going to be, no matter what happens, they can hit. They are, and they're that's a vaunted lineup. There's no question about it. But they suck in the field.
They are an awful. What a bad defensive team that was.
Yep.
Well, this stretches back to last year. Like, the Dodgers talked about how these guys were kind of a joke.
It was a joke.
We were like, I'm glad to play this team. They're barely a real baseball team.
I mean, Aaron Judge drops that fly ball in center field. I mean, just right in his glove in a crucial situation.
Now it's from Joe Kelly, so we hate him. But after the series, like, they're like the Yankees.
Volpe barely
play baseball the right way. They were excited to play the Yankees.
No, they're not clean at all. Volpe is terrible, terrible at shortstop. Holy cow, that's not a good team. And the Astros lose 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. I'm just shocked. You lose 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. A 5-5 homestand on a crucial homestand that you really needed, that you really wanted to make some ground.
You gained ground anyway.
You're fine.
Yeah. All right, we got a break.
They could lose. Right now, the Astros could lose 3 or 4 and gain a half game on the Mariners.
Live at East River 9, we are here all day long. We want you to come out. It is a beautiful play. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful day to get on out here. Play some golf this morning before work, or take a little time off of work, or come and play at night because they got lights here. Let's go. Get on out here to East River 9 and have yourself some Coors Lights. This has been, I don't know if I've had a better week of Coors Lights in my life. We were watching the games last night, and it was the Coors Lights were flying with all the boys. They were back together, and it was just a great time had by all. And most of us are drinking Coors Lights. And isn't that what we should do? Isn't that the way it should be when everybody's throwing down Coors Lights? That's the way that life should be. You and your boys throwing down some Coors Lights, watching games, watching baseball, important baseball, watching important football. And there was even tennis on. I'm not like Lance where I got to go back and forth. I got all the games and I got all the Coors Lights. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're looking for you're looking for me tonight, there's going to be some Coors Lights in me by the time I get there, I promise you. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I'll be refreshed when we get there tonight with Coors Light.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
All right, welcome back. We are at East River 9, as the man told you, with live music every weekend out here at East River 9. But there's also a great sports bar. You can watch all year. We got a lot of games. We got a lot of college football. We got baseball going on. We got the NFL season to start. Texans going to the Rams and get the season underway. And listen, D'Amico don't want to talk about no offensive line no more. Okay, we ain't doing that. We ain't talking about the offensive line anymore.
We're not.
But we are. We are talking about Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios. Both looking like Christian Kirk is down. Maybe this week and next we shall see.
Oh my God!
I don't know if it's going to be more preventative or he's. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be all that bad. Maybe they're just. We'll see. Load managing, making sure.
Load managing.
If he's got anything going on.
What was he doing this offseason? Did he play in more than one game?
He's missed in
the preseason.
Practice.
Understood, but that's the problem. Well, you couldn't even get to week one with Christian Kirk. And we're talking, they're saying maybe multiple weeks.
Well, there's
this
a reason. What, that
this is, Dell said this before. Hurt people, stay hurt, I think is how the thing goes.
No, it's hurt people, hurt people.
Stay
that's
hurt.
A different
hurt
thing altogether.
Hurt their bodies, their own bodies.
Okay.
Hurt people. No. That's what it's changed into. I mean, let's be honest, like, in all seriousness, come on. This is such a joke. This is the problem when you have, there's two problems. There's two fundamental issues. Draft little guys, expect injury. Sign hurt players, expect them to be hurt. This is like these are some of the most truisms that you ever have in any sports, especially football. And this is crazy. We're already starting. Maybe it won't be a problem for the rest of the year. But if Christian Kirk even misses two games to start the season, it's like, dude, what is – like, this is what happens when you get a guy that has injury issues. His first year he was injured. Second year he missed three games. Next year he missed two games. Then he didn't start. He played every game in 21, played every game in 22. In 23 he missed five games. Last year he missed, looks like, nine games. I mean, what the hell? And he starts the season off hurt, and you don't even – the starters weren't even playing. in the preseason hardly at all. This is just,
well, yeah.
You know, I mean, whatever. I'm glad they got Jalen Noel. I mean, Tank
well,
Noel's
here's
not
the deal.
Be here after next year. This guy, Kirk's not going to be here, whatever.
Well, here is Jalen Noel. We got Jalen Noel on we got some sound from Jalen Noel. What it does is it opens up. You know, one man's misery is another man's opportunity. So here, here, you know, Jaden Higgins has got to start. Jaden Higgins is going to be on. And you know what? Jalen Noel is going to have to grow up in a hurry. He's coming out of Iowa State. He's got you like him a lot. He's we'll see whether or not he's ready for this level. I know C.D. Lamb wasn't ready last night. He just wasn't good enough. But we got Jalen Noel. And Jalen Noel is ready to play. Here's Jalen Noel on his first game and his first opportunity.
There's around me, great O-line, so I know those guys will be there for me, and I'll be there for them.
Jalen, as a return man, what do you feel like you'll bring to the table in terms of return skills? And obviously you're the Big 12 Special Team Player of the Year.
Yeah, just really honing in on my technique, being prepared if they need me in that spot to go out there and do that job, and just explosiveness. Honestly, I feel like I'm an explosive player, and that helps my game a lot.
In regards to your teammates, having a chance to watch it, you know, every single day, how would you describe just how special the connection is between C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins?
It's very special. Those guys are connected every day, always communicating, always talking. Nico's always in the right spot for C.J., and C.J.'s always putting the ball right where he needs it. So to see those guys go out there and compete every day, to have an example like that every day, it helps the young guys a lot, and really the whole team. They put an example out there that's hard not to follow.
Taylor, when did you realize that you were going to possibly have to step into a larger role with Christian's injury?
Coach Ben's prepared me for this moment. He's prepared every receiver in that room to be ready for if anybody goes down or whatever, just to be ready for our moment. So whatever they need me to do on Sunday, I'm prepared to do.
What's the emotion like?
Right, there is Jalen Noel.
That's enough. It's enough out of you, Jalen.
We've heard enough out of the rookie.
Wait, I heard enough out of the background,
You know what? The Aggies, Kevin Sumlin never let the rookie speak, and maybe we should do that here.
Well, is he a great example?
Either the Bill, you know,
as far as running a great program?
Yeah, can't talk.
I'm just glad that the use of iPhones is how they pick up audio and video now, because in the background. I don't know if everyone caught it, but I've heard that tone and those two words together quite a bit in my life, and I picked up on it. I think Lance did as well in the background. There was a player having a conversation with one of his teammates.
Dang, sucker.
And yes, but it wasn't that. It was, well, I can't say it. Right. I can't say it, but appreciations to whoever grabbed that, because now I have something I will laugh at anytime I see Noel out in the field.
Yeah. Well,
although he didn't
Noel
say
part.
It. He didn't say it himself, but it was in the background.
I'm just going to blame it on Stephon Diggs.
He's not in the
room.
He's not there.
So without Christian Kirk, what are we expecting out of Higgins and Noel?
I think they're – well, I don't know that Noel does a lot. Maybe three catches. Maybe two. Higgins, I would think, is going to be closer to – you know, his over-under should probably be like 4.5. Catches. I think Nico is going to benefit. Nico's going to be, I mean, and I don't love this because I think every quarterback's at their best when they are able to scan the field and they trust a lot of different routes and they, you know, you get predictable if they know where you're going with the football. Sometimes it doesn't matter, like with Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates, but sometimes it doesn't matter, like with Deshaun Watson and D-Hop, but honestly, I think that if defenses start locking in on the fact that CJ is going to be targeting, if CJ starts to really excessively target Nico, it's going to make it easier for defenses to kind of, you know, slow the Texans down. I don't know. I'm going to say 7 catches for Nico. I'll say 5 for Higgins, 2 for Jalen Noel, and then I think the tight ends get 4 catches. So now we're at 4, 11, 16. We're pretty much, I mean, I'm already at like 18 catches. I don't know how much they're going to throw.
That's all the completions he's going to have? Well,
yeah,
your running backs. Hopefully it's going to be a little bit more than that.
Am I sure about this? See, that's how quick, like, you'll see, it's funny, you see those totals, those over-unders for receivers. You see Jaden Higgins, I think he's at 4.5. And you think, oh, that's nothing. He can get 5. That's like, that's just one, that's 1.25, and he gets one more extra when he gets a, yeah, it's not as easy as you think. Because, A, they need to be completions, but, B, I mean, there could be checkdowns to running backs. Dalton Schultz may be a guy who ends up being, you know, Dalton Schultz could end up being the second most targeted player on that field for the Houston Texans. It's not out of the question. I mean, CJ, year before last, CJ found him.
So look at Goddard last night. Goddard had how about A.J. Brown had one target last night. And Devontae Smith just
it was
a
on
few.
A big third
it was
down
Goddard. Yeah, it was a big third
down. Second
no, it was
down.
Second
they
down.
Threw
it was
the ball.
Down, right.
I was like, what
right.
are you throwing the football for? Well, eat the clock
it was,
up.
It was to him, and that was to ice the game. That's the first target he had all night. Mm-hmm. Goddard had a bunch. So you never know. I mean, we'll see what kind of pass rush is on CJ, and that may determine, hey, I got to get it out in a hurry, either to my safety valve, the running back, or to the tight end real quick over the middle. We'll see.
I think it might benefit the Texans to have maybe play a little bit more two tight end sets. That may not be the worst thing in the world, is to play a little more two tight end sets. And I mean, that's not going to be their base. But maybe a little more two tight end set stuff wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because you can line up, you know, Dalton Schultz maybe lines up in a slot and Stover lines up in line. You know, maybe you do something like that. It'll be interesting to see how Kaylee handles this. I mean, that's a lot to throw to a rookie in the first game. He's been running backup, and now you're going to throw him in. It's his first game, and he's a starter, and you got two starting wide receivers. What if somebody goes the wrong way in the route? They just screw up. I mean, it's something that rookies do. That could turn into an interception. That could be big. So I don't love having two.
Or they could run the routes properly and score touchdowns. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Negative. Mr. I don't. But Lance Ferragamo.
No, it's not being negative. It's being realistic. Two rookies It's not typically something that offenses want. Is having two rookie wide receivers.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, I like Higgins, though. I think Higgins is going to be. I think Higgins is going to end up being a really good Houston Texan. Well, I really do. Well, and I think Noah's going to chase Tank out of town.
I know where there's a really good place to play poker, and that's a Texas Card House. We were there yesterday. It was awesome. I can't tell you how fun it is. I mean, that game, holy crap, I was watching their PLO game. It is. If you like PLO, I'm telling you, there is some action going on. You better get ready, because it is flying. It is. If you're looking for action, if you love you some poker, Texas Card House is the place to go. It was 9 in the morning, and there's two tables going on, one with Hold'em and one with PLO going on, and it just and the chips are flying. You're looking for a great way to play and have fun. If you're a poker player, they got the tournaments. How about just at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a turbo tournament where it's a guarantee of $1,500, and it's just $25 to get in. That's so fun. That is so good. And it usually gets up to about $3,000, the pot. They've got a 40,000 PLO coming up on the 17th. They've got 100,000 Hold'em on the 17th at Green Ridge and Westheimer. I mean, in spring, they got the 40,000 PLO. It's just a great place, the place to play. Safe environment, wonderful environment, clean environment, beautiful, great parking lot. If you're looking for poker, there's one place to go. Go to TexasCardHouse.com.
Now back to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. East River 9 is where we are. Come on and hang out with us. We got guys already going out and playing. Just been wonderful. And Dell's making fun.
John, can you tell me?
They got a pull cart.
They got a pull cart, but he's not pulling it. He's pushing it.
You can push.
And his woman, I don't know, girlfriend, wife is right next to him. And if you looked at that from behind, it looks like he's just pushing a stroller out there, and his wife is walking right by him. It's like it looks like it's a nice day out in the park, and he's pushing his stroller, and his wife is there with them, and they're having a great time.
I got news for you. I'm watching him on the driving range. She's got a better swing than he does.
Well,
so he should. Push
well,
the
he
baby.
Was the one pushing the baby he around,
needs,
so it's not surprising.
To push the baby around until he got.
You know how I feel about
better
it.
Better swing than she.
You
does.
Come out here. What are we doing? What are you doing?
We're having some nice time.
With who?
With our girl. Our
you've
favorite girl.
Never done it.
My wife doesn't play. Doesn't play. She did play. She tried once.
And did she enjoy
she
it?
She did not enjoy it at all. Now, I didn't. I'm not. I didn't say I celebrated the fact she didn't enjoy it all, but it didn't hurt me. It
yeah,
didn't hurt
I
my
bet.
Feelings.
I bet.
Because that's a time where guys, you know,
not that guy.
This guy's got his whole bag. You don't need your whole bag out here at East River 9. You just need a few clubs. You need a pitching wedge for sure. Pitching through maybe 7 iron.
Did he put Pampers in that bag?
And no Pampers. It's a pull Our, cart.
He's pushing it, and it looks
can
like
push or
it
pull
looks
it.
Like there's a baby
no,
in the
no,
front
no,
of it,
no,
a toddler.
No baby. There's no baby. Although you
while his
bring
wife
your baby out.
While his wife is playing golf, he's pushing the stroller.
I've seen guys have their baby in the cart while they're playing.
Is that a good idea?
Sleeping. That's a terrible idea.
Okay.
It's a terrible idea. But it does happen. If you want to get out bad enough, that's what you do. And if you want to get on over here to East River 9, we've got the most beautiful view here. It is just gorgeous. Just gorgeous out here at East River 9. I think it's the best view of the skyline in the city.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Tony and his hate of Iowa State. He says, do you guys worry the Texans are expecting too much too soon from the Iowa State rookies between learning NFL defenses and learning not to pull their pants down to their ankles at a urinal?
An Iowa guy.
Why does he
that's an Iowa guy who hates. It's Cy-Hawk. It's Cy-Hawk weekend.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's wow. Where game day. Not game day, but Fox's.
Yeah, big noon kickoff.
Big noon kickoff is at Iowa State.
Well,
game day must be at Michigan.
Yes, that's where they are. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a nice game.
So is that a question Aaron Wilson should ask of Higgins and Knoll? Have you guys figured out not to pull your pants down to your ankles
at a
urinal yet, now that you're in the big city?
Come on, Tony. You better win that game, Tony.
Well, all right. It's part of the week. Trash talk.
How about their Iowa's quarterback? It's just typical Iowa.
Ooh, they were excited about Gronowski or whatever his name is. He was awful.
Awful. Congratulations. What did Josh say? He got Iowa'd. He got Iowa. If you're a quarterback and you go to Iowa, you get Iowa.
I will find you.
Yeah, my goodness. You always find that level, right? At Iowa, you always find the worst level.
He completed 8 passes for 44 yards.
That's awful. And then he had some kind of calf strain cramp. He had cramps. And one of his linemen stepped up and he was helping him with the cramp. It was just awful. Just an awful display. Anyway, we'll see. See, you better worry about your own quarterbacks instead of urinals, Tony. Okay? That's what you ought to worry about. We got to worry about a team that it's just so maddening to watch the Astros sometimes. Caleb Ort was awful last night. And look at him. Brian Abreu has been awful his last couple of times out. We've seen King struggle. I had no idea that Josh Hader, the domino effect of losing Josh Hader, what it would have on this bullpen. But I don't know. In what order do you trust the bullpen right now?
My gosh.
I guess it's Abreu. It's Abreu one.
I guess, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess. Not, you know, recent, his last two outings notwithstanding. I guess it's Abreu. And then I don't know. You know, the Murray kid looked pretty good yesterday in his debut.
How about that?
Yeah,
about
he looked
that?
Good. He could throw 96, 97 miles an hour. He is a 28-year-old rookie, so I don't hold a lot of hope for a 28-year-old rookie. Yeah. I went and looked him up. I'm like, wait a minute. Look at this kid. Maybe we got a, you know, is he going to be one of the, is he 24 years old, 23 years old? He's going to be one of the new arms we're going to be able to rely on moving forward. I was just like, 28. Why hasn't he been up yet? But, I mean, he did look, I mean, through some gas, you know.
So, is it Abreu?
I guess it's blue balls.
Is it a day? Is it De Los Santos?
No.
Is
it, no, not for me.
Okurt?
Yeah, he's all right.
Okurt? Is it Kimbrel?
It shouldn't be Kimbrel.
It shouldn't be any of these. I mean, I don't know who you can depend on right now in that bullpen. It's not, I don't know, it's not, it's never.
Remember when we had Hector Neris again?
Remember?
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot. There's not anyone that I really. Is it Brian King? It's Brian King against right-handers, I guess.
Yeah, against right-handers. I mean, he should have brought in King last night against the righty. He should have brought him in last night against the righty. Mm-hmm. He's got those reverse splits. I mean, did you see Ronel Blanco in the dugout last night? That was nice to see. There's a Ronel Blanco sighting.
Did you see Aaron Geddy get on the injured list?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it.
It's not supposed to last long. It's just elbow inflammation. It's no big deal.
No, it's no big deal. He'll be back next week, probably.
He and Caitlin Clark are supposed to be back about the same time.
Yeah. I don't have any idea who Joe goes to now in that bullpen. And everyone is a mistake. Every guy is a mistake. What was a strength for this team that looked pretty damn good for a while and was actually carrying it and was doing a really nice job is really a weakness right now.
So what did you think about Christian Javier yesterday? So I thought Javier was looking ragged in the second inning, just every lollipop. You know, what I don't love is he's got that – it's not a lot of bite on that breaking pitch that he throws back door to left-handers because it lands right in the middle of the zone, and it's at about 76 miles an hour, and it's very hittable. There was a home run – it was hit yesterday on that pitch. But he was looking – well, that was after the inning he got chased. But in the second inning, they started hitting him hard, but they only got one run out of it. And then he settled down after that a little bit and was actually getting some strikeouts. And it's crazy because he throws so many off-speed pitches now between his sweeper and his change, which runs at about 84, that when he did throw a 92-mile-an-hour fastball, he blew it by, I can't remember who he struck out, wasn't able to catch up with it. Wasn't able to catch up with 92. That's because he's throwing so many, his fastball is just not really a factor right now at all. So, I don't know. I know that there are times he looks... I don't feel like it looks the same. I know he had no hitter through six innings in his previous start. He had a bad second inning yesterday. Then he settled in and was getting strikeouts until he got chased, where he got knocked around the park in the sixth, and got chased out of the game. But I don't know. I still don't think it looks like Christian Javier for me.
Yeah, no, not the dominant Christian Javier.
Obviously not that. But I just don't think the stuff
even
looks
the no
real
hit.
Sharp.
Yeah, even the six inning no hit, it wasn't nearly what he was yet. He's not back to that yet. We'll see. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you want to talk about the Astros, you want to talk about the Texans game coming up, you're more than welcome to do that. Get in here and hang with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I need to talk right now about what's going on at Chastain Ford. Listen, you've got today and you've got tomorrow and you've got unbelievable deals going on at Chastain Ford. I love what they do. I love the way the Chastains go about it. I love it so much that I bought my last four vehicles from them, and I will continue to buy my vehicles from Chastain Ford because I just think they do it better. They just do it better. I just love the working on the deal with them. I got my Lightning from them, brand new Lightning, and they were like, okay, what do you want? What do you need in the vehicle? What price? What is your threshold? Because let's make sure that you're not choking on these payments. We want you to have the best car buying experience you can possibly have. This happens every day with everybody. When you go to the website, one of the first things that they'll ask you, where do your payments have to be? Because they want you to have a great car buying experience, and then you'll be back. And you know what? Instead of gouging as much as they possibly can out of you, which is what other dealerships do, they want you to be back. They want you to have a great car buying experience and come back. And that's why Chastains do so much repeat business. You'll love doing business with the Chastains. I do. You will too. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
You're back to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're live at East River 9 where you can come. I mean, we got guys with, it seems like it's it's ladies' day out here. There's a lot of guys with their girls out here. That's
early
nice,
morning.
Though. You got an hour and a half that you spend. It's not a 4-hour round like usual golf. This is about an hour and a half. You spend with your girl. You do your walk. You walk with her. Talk with her.
But considering that it's not even 8 o'clock, my assumption is you spent all night with her in the day before because you're living together. Don't you want to do a little
break? Have a date in the morning.
Yeah, that's. I get it, but wouldn't be me.
Let's have a morning date.
Wouldn't be me.
Maybe it's very wholesome, Del. I mean, it doesn't appear that those two are married. We don't know, but they're young.
Yeah, it looks like they like each other.
They like each other. So they're probably not married. But this is a great place to come and get your golf.
That's true. As much as I joke, it's a great place to be.
Listen, it's also a great place to do business because you don't have to spend 4 hours with a guy you possibly don't really like. He's a client or whatever. But you spend an hour and a half. You get your business done, right? You talk about business and whatnot as you're strolling down the fairway. It's an hour and a half. You have a couple of beers in the clubhouse here, and then you go on your way. That's good business right there. So if we got corporate memberships here, you can have your salespeople bring people out here. That's a great way to do it.
For anyone listening who's a client who deals with John, just know if he brings you at East River Nines, possibly he doesn't like you that much.
Well, I haven't brought any clients. You know what?
See?
You know what?
Just be aware.
I'm not saying
if
that.
He takes you to one of the courses.
I'm saying now. Okay, after that, then now you get another client. So
you double dip.
You can
gotcha.
Get a couple free clients.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying? One thing we haven't really talked about is, we talk about how great our corners are. And I think it's a top three cornerback duo in the NFL. Any way you want to look at it, Philadelphia obviously has a nice cornerback duo. We got maybe the best with the way Kamari played last year and the way Derek Stingley played. But, hey, Puka and Devontae now. All right, I don't know why people think like Devontae fell in fantasy draft. I don't know why. Devontae Adams is still now maybe it's because Matthew Stafford is not – there's a possibility Matthew Stafford won't be around because of the back issue, but that's okay. And I'm not crazy about if you're going to get a wide receiver, you're going to split – you're going to split a lot of catches now between the two. Mm-hmm. Is Puka going to have as big
Puka's
a year
had a
this
lot
year?
Of catches. Puka's had
Puka
a lot
had
of
a lot of
catches,
and you know what? Is Devontae Adams going to take him away? That's a logical question when you bring in a guy of the caliber of a Devontae Adams.
Well, he did have 85 catches for 1,063 yards last year in 14 games.
He's really good, by the
and
way.
And 8 touchdowns, 12.5 yards per reception. Like, the numbers – look, he didn't have what he had in Green Bay when he was Aaron Rodgers was so much better. He didn't have what he had his first year with the Raiders, which was 14 touchdowns. I can't even remember who the Raiders quarterback was in 2022. But he did have 14 touchdowns and 1,500 yards. Man, he was still balling with the Raiders. It dropped sharply with the Raiders in 2023. And then last year, actually was his lowest receiving yards, his lowest yards per game since 2017. So, I mean, there are some potential signs that age is catching up with him at age 32. He'll be 33 this year. I don't have a birthday on him. So, I mean, there is a chance age is catching up with him. It's unlikely that he's falling completely off a cliff. That's unlikely because his game has been based on not on speed, but on skill and hand, and ball skills. So I know that one of the issues that the Rams have is they need to add, instead of a little Tutu Atwell, they wanted to add a little bit bigger receiver with some speed because they already know they got two pass catchers in Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. I'm with you, John. I don't think Devontae Adams – I don't know if he's the same guy he was, but I'm sure he's still an – incredibly beyond serviceable number two.
Are you kidding? I don't think he's a number two. I think they got two ones. And last year against the Texans, he had 7 for 91 yards and a touchdown. 11 targets, 7 receptions, 91 yards, a touchdown. Derek Stingley was asked, by the way, thanks Chancellor Johnson for this audio. Derek Stingley was asked about covering, facing Devontae Adams again after he had a nice game and who he is. Here's Stingley on covering Devontae Adams. He doesn't have it. Okay. So it's not playing. We apologize. We will hear from Derek Stingley. It is, you know, it ain't going to be easy. I'm going to tell you that right now. It ain't going to be easy. When you got guys of that caliber on both sides, you know, we talked about this. Does Stingley travel this year? Because it's you know, difficult for a rookie like Kamari Lassiter to go from side to side and face the second best guy. So a lot of times you'll just sit, okay, you stay on your side, and I'll stay on my side. But now that Kamari's a second-year player, are we going to see Stingley on the best guy all the time? Or are we going to – and by the way, who's the best guy? Is it Puka or is it Devontae? I don't know. I don't know.
It's Puka to me, but I don't think it's who does – well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't think the Texans – they typically haven't been just a travel-the-corner team. They will some, but they don't always do it. The Eagles had to start doing that last night because of the beating that Adoree Jackson was getting from CeeDee Lamb. It was just an absolute – it was an embarrassment.
Adoree Jackson shouldn't be on CeeDee Lamb.
They don't have anyone else.
Finally, they said, okay, Quinyon, we're just going to have to put you
– They initially, I guess it was George Pickens with Quinyon, and then they decided after CeeDee Lamb – beat Adoree Jackson like a drum.
For you had 200 yards. Yesterday.
Well, if he could catch a pass, he would have went for 200 anyway.
Okay, so all right, you said that the first one he was a legitimate. You know, it was the first one of that series. God, that was a long good pass from Dak too. He should have had that. It was a bad drop. The second one, that was a tough one. The second one on the fourth down.
Oh, it's in his hands, dude.
But I'm not even talking about that one. I'm talking about the one where Turpin was clearing out. And he came across and it hit him in the helmet. It went through his hands.
I'm not going to kill him for the last one. If Chris Collinsworth doesn't kill him, then I'm not killing him.
Well, as long as Chris Collinsworth doesn't kill him.
Whatever Chris says.
Well, it's Collinsworth. And, you know, it's Collinsworth.
I say Collinsworth.
I know you
there's,
do.
There's
you
no
said
G there.
For years. You said Jerry Hunsinger.
I got a question, but I don't have the excuse.
Hunsinger.
You said it all the time.
No, I did not.
We remember. Yes, you did.
I don't know why America said, no, wait. No, it was the owner called him Hunsinger. It was Drayton didn't even know Hunsinger's name. Hunsinger is doing a great job. Remember? It was Drayton would call his own GM Hunsinger.
Yeah. Who did Jim Don't put Crane that on me. Studio?
He didn't get Garrett Cole's name.
Garrett
right?
Cole.
Call him Derek Cole.
Derek Cole.
Yeah. Should have been a sign of things to come. Well, if you're not going to learn a man's name, you're certainly not going to pay him. I don't have the excuse me sounder, but I want to ask this question. Did they learn their lesson from last year? Or are we going to get Jalen Petrie on Devontae Adams in the slot like last year?
Well,
did they learn their lesson?
If not him, then it's going to be Puka Nacua.
Yeah, then who?
Well, have they learned their lesson from that experiment when one-on-one slot fade touchdown?
Okay. Did you see yesterday when Cooper DeJean in the last play was – now, he was a former college corner, but did you see when he was running with – I mean, that's just how it is sometimes. If you're lined up that way, Cooper DeJean was the one who was running with CeeDee Lamb on that last play where Lamb dove, extended, and didn't come up with the ball on the fourth down.
And he was open.
That was – Cooper was the one who was on – exactly.
But,
like,
but
I,
he
was
open.
That's just what teams do.
And but the team learned, or at least they should learn from the mistake of last year where it was no contest. One-on-one in the slot with Devontae, it was no contest. Maybe, perhaps, you learned your lesson and don't allow that. Try not to allow that to happen again.
Yeah,
were Petrie a guy who...
What are you going to do?
What do you mean, what are you going to do? Maybe you should have found a third slot corner as opposed to putting Petrie in the slot
to do it. I'm aligning my guy.
Of course.
That's right.
Of course, that's what they're going to do. But the Texans, we've talked about it, the lack of depth at the cornerback position is going to lead to Jalen Petrie guarding Devontae or Puka in the slot one-on-one?
Let me see. Puka Nacua last year, or over his last couple of years, I'm gonna take a look at his alignment because I'm going to see who's more likely – I'll just go over the last two years in terms of.
You got no choice. If Jalen Petrie is going to be in the slot, you got no choice. They are going to set up. They're going to align themselves where they have mismatches, and they're going to put Jalen Petrie one on one with Devontae or with Puka. You're not going to have a choice about that.
The choice was to get more depth at cornerback in the offseason. That was a choice they didn't really make. They drafted a rookie, you know, and that's about it.
This is actually surprising. Puka actually lines up more. He's lined up more outside. Over the last 2 years, 753 snaps wide and 333 from the slot. Now, you got to remember, Cooper Kupp, when he played, typically played.
Look at this. He's 3 yards beyond Petrie. If it happens again, I know the height of arrogance, but what are we doing?
I take it back. So, yeah, he's had more than double the amount of snaps at wide receiver as opposed to slot. But, yeah, if you go back and watch that beating, like Devontae beat Petrie badly. So I don't know how they're going to handle that. My guess is I'll see on Devontae Adams how much he's been lined up in a slot. I know that he was intentionally lined up over Petrie to create a mismatch, and I felt like it was too predictable because they kept going at it. They knew what the Texans were going to do. If you're the Texans and you're D'Amico and you're Matt Burke, you've got to come in there and say, all right, the Rams are going to look at what the Jets did against us. Well, we really study where any team has success. You study that, and they're going to try to mismatch Petrie. So what are we going to do to counter them? That's the kind of chess you have to be playing, is you have to expect them. You have to counter what you're expecting. And what you have to expect is they're going to try to get Devontae lined up on Petrie. So if that means playing him in the slot more, then how are the Texans going to handle that? More zone coverage? I mean, you can play a lot of zone coverage, and that takes it away, John. You don't have to worry about it as much
or
anymore.
Or being less aggressive on the play. They lined up man across press, and they had the deep safety and Bullock back there. And they, you know, they played their games up front. Didn't send as many guys as it looked like. But it was man across, and Petrie was lined up against a Hall of Fame wide receiver in the slot. And predictably, it went that way.
And that's what you do, because you get him off, and he can't press you. He can't get his hands on you. You put the slot guy on the weakest man-to-man coverage guy, which would be Petrie in this case. Lassiter's better, and so is Derek Stingley. So you put him in the slot where he can't get his hands on one move, and he's by him. And you know
so
what?
So they moved him a lot more to the slot last year. So in 23, he had 854 snaps wide and 121 in the slot. That's Devontae Adams. Last year it was 440 wide and 370 in the slot. So my guess is he's going to be the guy that gets a lot more slot looks.
Well, if you're scheming against the Texans, you're putting your best receiver in the slot. That's what you're doing. Period.
And the Texans, I'm going to see how much zone they played last year, but we may just see them play a little bit more zone this year in these kind of matchups. In these kind of matchups where you have two ones, as you call them, they're two ones, well, then if they're going to try to mismatch you inside, then maybe you go to a little bit more zone. It kind of takes, or maybe you have halves coverage where you're manned up on Stingley's side and then you play some zone on the other, you know, some exotic coverages. I don't know how often. I don't think D'Amico does that a whole lot, but I don't know. It's going to be – this is part of the fun stuff about football is this is what I actually love is when the D coordinators and O coordinators start, you know, really trying to figure out ways to throw. This is what I really still respect a lot about Bill Belichick as a pro defensive coach is he threw a lot of stuff at teams that they weren't ready for, and D'Amico's got to be careful that his defense isn't too predictable, because I do think Petrie is a natural mismatch for some wide receivers, and I worry that they just are like they're just ride or die with Petrie.
That's what good coordinators do. They find mismatches. All right, we got a break. We are at the top of the hour, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you got any questions. How about this? Right at exactly 8:10. Who wants to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy? Who wants to play? At 9:30, you got to study. You have got to figure out who you're going to pick. You pick five games against the Warehouse Live Guy. If the Warehouse Live Guy beats you, you get nothing. If you beat him, if you win more games than he does this weekend in the NFL, then he's going to give you two tickets or four tickets to a game and the limo ride there and back. That's what the Warehouse Live
Guy does. If he picks one game and you pick the exact opposite game?
It's a double banger.
It's a double banger. Yeah. And to be clear, you have to beat him. You cannot tie him. There's the sound you'll hear. You have to beat him. The tie goes to the Warehouse Guy.
Tie goes to the Warehouse Guy. So if you win three games, he wins three games, then you don't win.
Correct.
You got to beat the Warehouse Live Guy. So at 8:10 exactly, you're calling in, and caller number three is going to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy. But get your stuff ready and make sure we have their number, Sean, that we can call them back at 9:30, and we are ready to go. You have to be able to play at 9:30 because that's when the Warehouse Live Guy comes on. If you can't play at 9:30, don't call in. All right, Lance, if you need jewelry, where do you go?
You go to Zadig Jewelers, and that's been the answer for over four decades now. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard is their relatively new location. They've been there a little bit now. It is beautiful. Man, I went in there. I saw their Houston Texans watch they did last year, which is a limited release. And Zadig is chosen for, you know, special edition things like that because they're like they're the biggest and the best. I mean, they're absolutely the best here in the city of Houston. There's been a lot of families have gone and gotten not just their jewelry there, but, you know, the engagement rings. And that's something that has been a big deal. They also, and this is something pretty cool, they'll take family heirlooms. Let's say that there's a piece of jewelry that's been handed down and you want to do something with that, but you don't love the design anymore, it's outdated. What they can do is melt down the, you know, the silver or the gold, whatever it's made from, and they can take that and then they can use it to redesign and create a new piece for you, whether it's a pendant, another type of ring. And they've got designers that are outstanding, very, very talented, right there in the store. And so you can have something that you take, you know, something that your grandmother passed down, and you can reinvent it to where it's something that's new and modern, but yet still comes from the same, you know, precious metal that you had before, maybe the same diamond or the same stone. Let the experts there take that family history and really upgrade it to what's going on right now. And, of course, when it comes to the diamond engagement ring, they've got a second floor that's completely dedicated to the bridal experience. So they're going to help you hit an absolute home run, whether it's Mother's Day or getting engaged or a birthday or an anniversary. It's always a spot to go to find something that she is going to absolutely love because that's what they do. They create the very best. They are sellers of the very best, and they're what you have available to choose from, and the experts there to help you find it, they're unmatched throughout the state. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Stop in and just window shop if you like, just to get a feel for the location. It's Zadig Jewelers.